I want to go ahead and just read from verse 12 through 21 this morning. This is a a little longer passage maybe than what we've done lately, but I believe it all needs to stay together. And so let's read together, beginning in verse 12 of Romans 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And then if you notice, your Bible probably has a parenthesis there. The next section is a parenthetical statement elaborating on that, the Apostle Paul is. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Reference to Christ, of course. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And that's the end of his parenthetical statement. And so he picks up from what he said in verse 12. In verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. There's that word many again. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul begins this passage with therefore. And of course, he's referring back to the fact that what he established in the first part of this chapter, that by faith, those who trust in Jesus Christ have peace with God, that they have been justified through our Lord Jesus Christ, made just as if I'd never sinned, set right with God. Literally, the interpretation of righteousness, set right with God. And then he clarified that God set about and accomplished that, not when we deserved it, not when we achieved some plateau of attaining to it, but rather God demonstrated or put on display his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, still running from him, still bowing up, still rebelling, still shaking our fist in his face, he sent and gave his son to die for us. And now, he says, having been justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. And we rejoice in God because we have now received, he says, the reconciliation. And so then he begins based on that to clarify, to elaborate on the state of man and how God accomplished this. And he does it by a comparison and a contrast. He brings up this comparison between the first Adam and the last Adam, a reference that's given to Christ, or a name that's given to Christ in Paul's letter to Corinth. But he brings up this comparison and contrast that has to do with Adam and his sin. And the fact that Adam had one law, if you want to call it that, one rule not to break, law that God gave him and Eve in the garden. And he says that Adam sinned. He rebelled. He chose to do what he knew he was told not to do. And through that one sin, through that one choice, Adam unleashed sin and death on all humanity. But he makes it plain that it's not just Adam's fault, that we're not all just suffering because of Adam, because having unleashed that, having that reality come into the world, we all joined in. And that's why he says, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam's sin, the introduction into the world of all sin and its consequences, not the main subject of this passage, but the backdrop, the extensive reality of evils unleashed by Adam and our sin are remedied by Christ through the superabounding power of God's grace in Christ. That's what this passage is about. He makes it plain that Adam sin. He opened the door. God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall die. He opened the door to death. And every man and woman who's ever breathed since then sinned. And death came. He says that not everybody sinned the way Adam did. And what he means by that is Adam had this clear law from God's mouth, don't eat of. But then after the garden, all the way through to Moses, there wasn't a law. But there was one. They did sin. And the reason they sinned is because God had set his law of right and wrong and conscience in our hearts, in their hearts. And the fact that they sinned and death came is proof that it's not just Adam's fault. It's everyone's fault. Everyone has sinned. Everyone faces death. It's there. It won't go away. It's on the inside. Kind of like this lady I read about. She had gone shopping. She says, nothing looks good on me anymore. Well, a customer modeling an outfit in front of a department store mirror. Nonsense, ma'am, soothed the sales clerk. That dress says it all. That's the problem, the woman replied. I need a dress that keeps its mouth shut. It just wouldn't go away. And that's the reality that humanity lives in. Every person faces the choice and makes the choice, knowing in their own heart right from wrong. The reality of what God planted there. Some people call it the moral law. But all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the scripture says. But Paul says, all the way through to Moses, from Adam, death reigned. And then, of course, the law was given through Moses. And ever since then, the law stood and men rebelled. But it was through the one man. He's making this point, this comparison and contrast between Christ and Adam. He is showing how the plan of justification meets well understood and acknowledged evils. We all know there is evil. We all know there is sin. We all know that we are under the result of sin, of Adam's sin and death, and that's condemnation. I shared the gospel with a young man many years ago who was visiting in Dothan, Alabama, where we lived and where I was ministering then, and he was from Taiwan. And he had never been to a church. He had never heard the gospel. He had never heard about Jesus. Now, that may seem hard to believe in our world, but it was true. He worked at a nuclear plant there, and he was a junior college professor. He had never heard. But as we shared and talked about the gospel and about Christ and about sin and about judgment and about condemnation, the one thing he knew, in fact, he interrupted me and spoke for me. He knew judgment was coming. He knew he was guilty, and he knew that guilt would have a consequence. He understood. He didn't know anything more than that, but he knew something was wrong, and he had done it, and he would face the consequences. Now, wonderfully, once he heard the gospel, once he heard and understood the gospel of Jesus, that man prayed to receive Christ. And when he did, Christ came into his heart and liberated him, and he understood what it meant to be saved. In fact, his word for it, he coined his own word, rescued. Like a man drowning, that was his picture of humanity and of what he was facing. He said, Jesus rescued him. And there was such a change in his heart and in his face and in his eyes. And he grabbed me and another, well, the other, the senior pastor, and put his arms around us and said, brothers. He had become one of the many. Join the family. But Paul is saying there's this comparison between Christ and Adam. One man, that's alike. There's one man. And one action or choice, and it had a consequence. With Adam, it was one man, one action or choice, one judgment, one universal participation, because all sinned, and consequence, universal consequence, condemnation, death. And it was just. It was right. But Paul doesn't leave us there. He's not just comparing to that. He says, he begins to develop a contrast. He says in verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense, Adam's and ours. In verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. Death entered and reigned through one man, Adam, unequivocally. No one to stay its hand. And yet he says in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more. I love that Paul likes to use that word, much more. It's actually one word, the best I recall in the Greek. Much more. Literally, it's translated superabounding. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. He says, much more those who receive. You see, that's the difference. Those of us, that is humanity, of Adam's family, who are sinners, we'll face the consequences of that unless we receive, as Paul says. Much more those who receive abundance of grace. There's plenty of grace to go around. There is more grace. It is super abounding. God determined beforehand that there would be more than enough grace, more than enough supply of His mercy and forgiveness and goodness for all of humanity from Adam's first breath until the end of time. And that those who receive that grace, that super abounding grace, and the gift of righteousness, that's the only way to be right with God, is accept the gift. You can't earn it. It wouldn't be a gift if you did. It's free. It's a gift. It's offered. It wasn't cheap. It cost Christ great suffering. His body broken, His blood shed. His natural life ended and laid in a grave. It wasn't cheap, but it's free. It's a gift. Then He says, therefore, through one man's offense, judgment came to all. All followed, all sinned, all were condemned, all were declared. And that's what condemned means, declared guilty. And no matter what anyone says or will tell you on the street, they know in their heart of hearts they are guilty. They stand condemned. And when the time comes that God or whatever term they have for Him, they stand before Him, they know they are justly condemned. So Paul paints this picture through Adam, but then he paints the contrasting picture through Christ. Adam's one sin unleashed on the world and on all of humanity. Sin and its judgment and its condemnation and its results of death. And the word death does not mean annihilation. It's not the end. It's not where everything stops. It means separation. The word in Greek is thanatos. It means separation. It's to be separated from God and all that is of God and good forever. But Christ came to fix that. And Paul makes this contrast. One man's righteous act brought about justification and offered it to all. Life and righteousness and no condemnation. No more judgment standing against us. In fact, to the contrary, a declaration by the Judge of Judges, acquitted, not guilty, righteous. And then Paul picks up in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's what the law came for. That came to show us truth. It came to show us right living. It came to show us the way the kingdom of God looks like, where everyone is valued, where everyone is loved, where everyone is precious, where everyone matters and is treated like it. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. That's what love looks like. But the law came to show us, to focus, to put the focus on our need. It magnified, it spotlighted, it emphasized the reality of our offenses. No more excusing ourselves as Adam did. Humanity is hopeless and helpless, cursed to return to the ground, the dust we were taken from in Adam. In fact, that's what Adam's name means. Adam, the word Adam, the name Adam is also translated in some translations as humankind. But the word means taken from the ground, literally the red earth. That's the state of humanity. But thank God it doesn't end there. Paul says, the law entered that the offense might abound. It's not that the law made us sin more. The law brought to our attention the reality, inexcusable, of our sin, our weakness, and our failure. But a three-letter word that is all through the New Testament and is so wonderful. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. There's that word again, much more. God didn't just save us by the skin of our teeth and just get us by. He sent His Son who took our place, and by His grace, by His goodness, He opened the glory, the treasures, the wonders of heaven and extended them to us who had no right to them whatsoever. And says, enjoy as my children. Grace abounded much more. So that, verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death. Now, does sin reign through death? Is there anyone who escapes death? Does sin not have this seeming unequivocal power over humanity because of death? It does. It certainly does. It's a very clear measure. And Paul says, by that same measure, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As sure as every human will die, the grace of God just as surely will take everyone who says to Jesus yes and receives His substitutionary death in their place. The grace of God will reign, will rule, and will conquer death and destruction and weakness and failure, and will take the family of God, the many, into eternity forever in paradise, where it will be beyond our wildest imagination forever. And it's all because of God's grace. You see the contrast, the not like. Adam's sin and death brought judgment, a curse. It unleashed it on all, and did so justly because all sinned. He sinned, we followed suit, we all sinned. But it began with one sin, and it brought condemnation on all because all sinned. But the contrast is, God's remedy is, in Christ, one righteous act, His obedience, the obedience of Jesus to His Son, to His Father, His obedience all the way through death in our place, unjustly, justified all who receive Him through no one else did righteousness. You see, Adam opened the door to sin, and we followed suit. We sinned, and we all received the condemnation and death. But Jesus came, and through His obedience to His Father's will and for our redemption, He took our place. His one righteous act brought or purchased justification for all. But the reason it's grace is no one else did righteousness, just Him. That's the difference between the situation with Adam and the first Adam and all of us who descended from him. His act brought judgment on all who did the same. Christ's act brings righteousness, justification, forgiveness, redemption on all of us who couldn't do the same. That's how grace reigns. That's what Christianity is about. The grace of God. Grace reigns. That's what Paul said. So grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life He supplies to us eternal life, superabounding, more than enough, through Jesus Christ. And it's that life, that coming of His life in us, that working of His grace, that transforms us, that puts inside of us, deep down inside, this desire, this will, this inclination to do the Father's will, to live in love, to keep the door open so more can join the many in grace. And by His grace, know righteousness, know freedom, no more condemnation, all through Jesus Christ, our Lord.